几个买几个宝马，几个啊generation shall praise you, our generation shall praise your name, my generation shall
lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for the Red Sea. Hallelujah. We even thank you for the waters of Jordan. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you have brought your people through. Lord, even as we come to the threshold, where you will bring us through the waters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you bring us to the place where you will establish this living water, this flow of life and flow of grace. Oh yes. We say we lift our cup up, O God. Say, come and quench this testing of our soul. Hallelujah. Lord, you might bring us to the place of the waters, even this river of life. Hallelujah. Lord, we're praying for a ministry of life.
Amen.
A ministry of life. Hallelujah. Lord, that you might send the mind of Christ to minister to us, O God. For you said, you have made available to us the mind of Christ. So the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. But say, they that are spiritual, we're able to receive. We're able to discern. We're able to join spiritual things with spiritual things. I say, he that is spiritual is judged of no other spirit. For you bring us to the highest dimension. Even today we ask for the release of your spirit.
Amen.
That freshness, that covering of your grace and of your life. Father, you will restore it to God. That you break every veil. That you deal with the darkness within the soul. Hallelujah. For you say you will make us the people that will not draw back to perdition. But Lord, that which will press on to the saving of the soul. Lord, that is what we subscribe to. That is what we yearn for. That we will press. We will press beyond the veil. Even to this place of the saving of the soul. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as thy word will come,
amen,
that this trumpet will be very clear, will make a certain sound, that the entrance of your word will be light,
amen,
will be light,
amen,
to judge the darkness.
Amen.
Let there be light, O God.
Amen.
Let there be light within our soul.
Amen.
Let it judge the strongholds of wickedness within. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, you take us beyond religion.
Yes.
To bring us to a place of reality. That we can touch you. We can feel you. We can relate with you.
Mm.
Oh yes. That our life will never be the same again.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We'll receive strength.
Amen.
To abide in your presence.
Amen.
To ask you to increase our capacity.
Amen.
Oh yes, we'll bring the vessels,
yes,
that you might fill us to overflowing.
Yes.
Like the man said, evermore give us this bread.
Yes.
And to be our cry, our hunger and our thirst,
yes,
to receive more of you.
Yes.
Not knowledge, but Lord, life.
Yes. The mighty name of Jesus.
Life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
For the letter killeth,
yes,
but the Spirit giveth life. We ask for the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
They might quicken us, O God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Might lift us out of captivity,
amen,
to the place of jubilee.
Amen.
In you, O God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't want us to sing it. I don't know what the mission of the Bible is teaching. It's not that thing. It means the clouds, chariots, walks upon the wings of the wind.
We can sing it. We can sing one or two verses. Let's sing it.
Shadow of falling. Like the coming of the Lord, you know, the heavens, the spirit.
The cloud is chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind, and he is. There is no shadow after him, for he is forever the same.
He makes the cloud his chariot.
He walks upon the wings of the wind, and in him there is no shadow of turning, for he is forever the same. Hallelujah. He makes the cloud his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the
wind.
For him there is no shadow of turning, for he is forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:16. I think for a long time I've never really had this kind of atmosphere, you know, to go into the world. Well, maybe in Luton we, because it's good to have, when you have a relaxed time, you can go into the world. So that's why the teaching on the tabernacle in Luton is to be good to listen to it. It's very good. We had almost 8 sessions. But, you know, so almost like over 2 weeks, you know, the brethren were just going through. So it's very good. I think Emma has it. So it's to be good to listen. But yesterday we just started with looking at some basic principles. I didn't really have a topic, but I just had things in my heart. But well, I seem to have. Well, I don't know if that is the direction, but I would say we are looking at overcoming the darkness in the soul. So that would seem to kind of describe the kind of burden I have. It might change, I don't know. But yesterday we were trying to look at just the basic foundations, and you know, today we're going to look at scripture, and again we'll be looking at basic scriptures. To try to have to establish, because you know what God is about to do is something that we have never seen before. It's like, you know, going on the road, a journey you've not gone before. You not really have people ahead of you that you can follow. So the best way to go is to follow the principle of scripture, you know, because if the scriptures are clear, then we can never miss the road. You know, nobody can pull a wool over our eyes, you know, because there are people down the road that, you know, the devil built Bible schools. It's that bad. He built Bible schools even before I got born again. The world had been corrupted. So that's how early it was. I mean, he had gone very, very early. He had built Bible schools. He had brought up theologies, ideas, teachings, philosophies that have twisted the world. So even the people that were translating the Bible, even though they tried, the so-called 70 scholars, but I hear he managed to smuggle some Roman Catholics among those scholars. So even though they were one of the best, I mean, most of them were Cambridge and Oxford scholars, but he managed to adulterate it. So there are certain scriptures you see, it's, you know, if you look at it doctrinally, it looks okay, but it doesn't fully express. So you need to look at the Greek, you need to look at the Hebrew, some cases you look at the Aramaic, then you look at the use of the word over time. And then you have to really depend on the Spirit of God to give you the interpretation, you know, to see and to properly place it. You know, so it takes time, but eventually you begin to see, you get the picture, and I think that picture is beginning to come. Like I said, for some time it wasn't very clear, but I think something, a trend is beginning to come. It's clear what God is saying and where He's taking us to. And I'm telling you, the years ahead, well, I don't know about years, but the days and months and the time ahead of us, I'm telling you, is the best time of our life.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the thing that is coming has never been before. You know, and as somebody says, if you want to be alive, it is now.
Amen.
If you really want to be in the be with God, this is now. You know, so you need to just make preparation and say, God, this thing, I'm in it. You know, because it's clear what God is saying. You know, so let us look at verse 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we're looking at darkness within the soul. This is where we're trying to lay some background. We'll pick it later on in the but let me not go back so much. Let's move on so that we can cover more time. Now it says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Now you see, one of the things that you need to realize is now, in the spirit, there is no discrimination. There is no discrimination. And there are two kingdoms. So there are two principles that are working. And like a brother would say, it is not about you or about me. It is about the interest of God. You know, so you find that everything that is happening because of the interest of God. And that interest of God is that there is a rebellion in the spirit, light and darkness. That's it. You see, and when immediately you miss that, you miss the purpose of life, you miss the purpose of everything. You know, so if you are anything you are looking at, if you don't have that in focus, then you know, it's like, you know, your GPS. You must get a proper reference point, then you can locate everything else. And in the spirit, the proper reference point is what? Light and darkness. You know that there is a rebellion of darkness against light. So that is the correct reference point. And you find that over time people have not used that reference point. So the conclusion has always been wrong. You know, and but those who use it, let me give you an example. Scripture says that in the temple of Solomon that there was no sound made. There's no sound. The temple was all the stones were prepared in the mountain. So in other words, they would just bring it and fit. So if you are the person that is looking for sound, it's when the building would have been finished. That's when you will know the building has been finished. Don't you understand? If you are looking for sound and noise, it is when they bring out, if you say, okay, it's like you pass some places, you will say, one of us, all of a sudden, you see one mighty building. You say, yeah, when was this house there? When they were building it, they used something that covered it. You didn't know. One day, they removed the covering and you say, my God, fantastic house. That's what God is. God is building something now. But it's a quiet walk.
Man.
No noise. Stone by stone, he's building his house. You know, so that's just the principle. So if you're looking for noise and razzmatazz, forget it, you miss the whole thing. It is a quiet walk, and it's every day, one block, here a little, there a little. You know, just step by step, it's just line upon line, precept upon. You know, the kingdom of God is moving forward. You know, and it has a definite, predetermined destination. It's going. You know, so I have to be able to discern what God is saying and then locate myself in it. You know, because truly, truly, God is building his house. You know, so that's just an example I want to bring. So if you come back here, he's talking about joining marriage. And he said, he that is joined to a harlot is one body. Alright? Okay, same thing. He said, because he says two shall be one flesh. Okay. But he that is joined to the Lord is what?
One spirit.
One spirit. So it's the same principle of joining. Alright? Now, when you take the scripture and you bring it into our basic reference point, light and darkness. So what is it saying? That as it is in the spirit. Now, when the word, you have to define just those two words, spirit and flesh. You have to, now, both of them are spirit. When you say something is the spirit and something is the flesh, you think it's talking about the flesh there. Actually, when you look at the Greek, you will see that it's not speaking of flesh as flesh. Because the flesh is soma. Okay? And the Greeks described soma as carcass, physical, just the raw flesh. That's different. But it's talking about the body. It's talking about, you know, the whole existence of the person. Okay, so it's not just the, so it looks like the dimension in which the word is being used. Now, when the Bible talks about flesh, what it means is the soul of man functioning without the covering or unction of the Spirit of God. That is what the Bible calls flesh. Now, what he calls spirit is when the soul of man functions under the control, government, unction of the Spirit. So there are two. Okay? You see, when the soul of an individual is, you know, is functioning by the covering, by the leading of the Spirit of God, then it's called the person is in the Spirit. Okay? Now, the scripture for that is what? Romans. It says that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Then the next verse says, but you are not in the flesh if the Spirit of God is in you. So, when you have the Spirit of God in you, you are in the Spirit. When you do not have the Spirit, you are in the flesh. So, what determines what spirit of flesh is the Spirit of God. You understand? And then we drew it on the board. Okay, I can draw it quickly. On the board, let me use red because it's quite basic. So let me I think we can go, we'll come back to that. So if you look at, we'll draw quickly, you can, if you have, so we have two circles. Okay, so this is soul. This is soul. This is body. And then this is body. Okay? Now, this is spirit. This is spirit. And this is spirit. Okay, people are not seeing. Are you great? Okay. Now, okay, you're right. Now, this spirit is non-functional. And the reason why it's not functional is because it is detached. Okay, so this is the Father, this is God the Son, this is the Holy Ghost. So you have a void here. You have a void here. So this spirit is not, doesn't receive life from the Spirit of God. Okay? No, but it's different from this one where you have a connection. So this is the Holy Ghost. This is the Son and the Father. So you have a flow of life. Because the target of the life of the river is the soul. That's the target. When the soul is saved, the body will go with it.
Yes.
The body has no choice. It will go where the soul goes. Although now this body is ruling over the soul, that's a different thing. Those are the dynamics of the operation of darkness. But let's go back here. So, this is what you say is in the spirit. In the spirit. And this one is in the flesh. This is in the flesh. So the soul is there, but it is cut off. No. I'm just trying to show that the spirit of the man, natural man, what do you call it, the natural man, is not in fellowship with the Spirit of God. He's not receiving life. So as far as it's concerned, God is dead.
It's void.
God is, you know, but there's no void in nature. You engineers know. There is no void in nature. So what is the thing you think will fill it? Tell me now, what do you think will fill it?
Darkness.
It's very simple. This was the technical plan of the devil. So what he did was to get Adam to this point where his spirit was detached from everything in heaven. Alright, so his spirit is there, but it is non-functional because he's not receiving life from the Spirit of God. So what does it, also what in this situation, if I redrew it, I will probably now say you now have another system. Okay, you have another system. So you have a different set of spiritual arrangement, which this spirit and this soul is being overshadowed by another spirit. So what he's now saying that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, and that spirit is Christ. Now, some people, most Christians don't understand what is Christ. They cannot differentiate Christ from Jesus. So they say Jesus Christ is the same. They are all the same. It's not the same. And it's one of the lies that the devil sowed very, very, very early. And in the Bible schools, they began to teach it. As early as the first century, they began to teach it. What were they teaching? That we don't have an access to Christ. That Jesus is God. That, you know, he's different from us. And you don't want to talk about it, because when you talk about it, it's like, oh, you're trying to belittle Jesus. No, that's not it. Now, the doctrine of Christ is that Christ is a spirit. Christ is a spirit. And this spirit must dwell in a body. And this body will be man. Now, this is what you find in Ephesians 1. That it says from the beginning of the ages that God had a purpose. You understand? That there will be a man. And in this man will the fullness of God dwell. You understand? That you will have a man. Or not just a man, a group of men. And in them, the fullness of the Godhead will be made bodily expressed. Okay? Now, the first man in whom that happened, Jesus. See, the man, Christ Jesus. So he was the first man that was raised, born, and the Spirit of Christ was in him and manifested in fullness. With him, and you see, and that fullness, it was such that when Jesus came, the fullness of God was in his soul, was in his spirit, but not in his body. Because if it was in his body, he wouldn't have died. Do you understand? So his body was subject to death, but when he died after 3 days, what happened? That fullness of God entered his body. So his spirit, soul and body receive the fullness. And that is the pattern for you and me.
Amen.
Don't you understand? So when you get born again, like this man now, his spirit, for his spirit to be born again, something must happen. So the message is turning around, so I'm trying to adjust myself. Okay, now, this man you see here has a problem. Because see, his spirit is detached from the heavens. It's a carnal man. It's an earthly man. And he has only one direction. Where is that direction?
Down.
He can only go down. So he's headbound.
Mm.
He thinks he's a Nigerian. You understand? The only thing he knows is earth. He has nothing to do with it. The only heaven he knows is will be darkness. So hopefully we'll get into it. So the only way to save this man is that he must receive the life of God.
Amen.
Because see, as it is now, the life of God, which was overshadowing his soul, has been removed. He's empty. And that is one of the things the devil wanted to achieve. He wanted to make man naked. This soul is naked. It has no covering from God. It has no life. So it is going to be diseased. It's going to have pain. It's going to have all kinds of things. So the only way is to introduce the blood of Jesus. Huh? The blood must drop. That's the only way. Now, the life of God is in the blood. You understand? And so the blood must come. There must be a sacrifice. Because you see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now there are two other things that have blood, that have the life of God: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. There are three. See, there are three that bear witness. That is, when you say bear witness, that bring the life of God to the soul. But the first one that comes to man must be the blood. Of course, you hear the word. But when the blood comes, it comes to the mind, it comes to the soul. Because you see, that's why I say put the thing on the lintel. The mind is the head of the soul. So the mind hears the word, receives the word, and receives the blood. So when this blood comes to the mind, it brings life into the realm. It brings life into the soul. As we will see, the life that it brings to the soul is only just to quicken. The man sees the kingdom, but he cannot enter. Now, over time, we have also lost the meaning of seeing and entering. You know, so many have seen the kingdom, they say, oh, that's enough. But seeing is different from entering. Because you know, when you talk about, when this blood comes, there's a basic problem to the soul.
Hallelujah.
And the basic problem with the soul is that the soul has a nature of darkness. And this nature of darkness is spirit related. And as we are going to see, when this man became discharged, it's not just that his spirit was detached. Spirits, very strong spirits, came in and began to dwell in the soul realms of this man. It's like when the Americans first went to the land called the New World. What do you think they went and did there? They went there and saw vast place. You know what they did? They occupied the land. So when the spirits came to the, when they came into the realm, they also occupied the soul. It was empty. Isn't also? So there are spirits that have lodged within the four dimensions of the soul. They are lodged there. And that is the problem of man. That man is carrying, is a habitation of spirits. Again, that is something that the devil has sowed in the church. And for many years, we are arguing about the demon possession, demon oppression, this one, all that is academic. It's very, very academic. And we will see it today. The soul is a very fertile land for spirits. By the way, the soul was made to be the house of spirits. It must be occupied by a spirit. That spirit may be the spirit of God, or maybe the spirit of devils. So the soul is not meant to be a place that will be empty. It is a dwelling of spirits. And that's one of the basic truths that is not yet common in the church. And that is part of the problem that we have. Now, the reason why we have to understand that is because of the what the Bible calls atonement. It's because of what the Bible calls the last feast of tabernacles. Because you see, okay, let's put it this way. In Matthew 25, it says there were five virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. Now, the five wise ones, the thing that made them different was because of what? Because of the soul. Because of the soul. Now, define virgin for me. Brother, define virgin. What is it? Who is a virgin?
Well,
is it difficult?
Defined.
Okay, very good. That's natural. Now, define virgin in the spirit.
Someone that is not joined to another except the Lord.
Well, I thought it was very straightforward. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. If there is any spirit in your soul, you are not a virgin.
Yeah. Okay.
Simple. There's no, not too much grammar. If the soul of the individual has a spirit living in it, it's no longer a virgin.
It's a joint on
it. That's it. You cannot be married to Christ. So you see that the church is heading in the wrong direction. Because we are not aiming to make sure that this soul area is clean of spirits. And that's what the Day of Atonement is about. Because say on the Day of Atonement, every soul must begin to afflict itself. And when we look at that word, when you say afflict, that means that you must dislodge your spirits. And yesterday we were talking about, let's go a little bit back. That's why we were, the relevance of yesterday. We were talking about that the soul has two realms. Whether it's the mind, emotion, or desire, or will, there are two realms. There is the spiritual component of the soul, and then there is the physical component. Remember, how you know that is, you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, isn't also how he took the physical component and how he took the spiritual, God's breath, and then the earth. When they came together, they formed the soul. So the soul has both the physical and what is soul? It's the mind, emotions, and desire, and the will. So the mind has this component. In other words, the soul is like a bridge. It's the place where the heavens and the earth meet together.
Yes.
And the soul is the only creation in the whole universe in which the heavens and the earth meet together. So it's an altar. It is a place where life is given. And we are going to see it. I was telling with him, the whole thing you have on earth is an altar. It's an image. Yeah. My profession is an image. The Bible talks about the image of the beast. You'll be shocked when you know what the image of the beast means. Life. But let me not jump it. Because see, I want to explain it step by step so that it will be very clear. And you will see the scripture. Okay? So we are looking at the soul and the fact that this soul has darkness, and the fact that this soul must receive the life of God, and when the life of God comes into the soul, then the spirit is quickened, and when the spirit is quickened, it begins to receive life, begins to receive energy, begins to receive influences. In fact, the river of God the flow of the spirit begins to come into the diamond. And that's why if I play music now, you automatically, you see the life of God comes into you. You know, like this evening, where the man was, you could feel the life of God. That is the life of God coming in your spirit. You could feel it. It flows. You understand? Now, when the ministry of the word is coming, you also feel the life of God coming, because the spirit of God comes to you in the word of God. And that's what you find in the holy place. You see the word and the spirit, they go together. You know? Okay, so this just as a kind of introduction. I was trying to define being in the spirit and then being in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that the purpose of God is that there must be a union.
Yes.
The soul must be married to the spirit. That is the whole aim. You know? And I was saying that this union must take place in a chamber, in a secret place, in a guard room, in a a bedroom. Now, what God is doing, he must preserve it. There must be a seal so that the devil will not be able to go in. And that's why you see the cherubims. There's a covering. That means there's an overshadowing. So God seals his bride and keeps the bride in a safe place where the darkness will never get into. You know, if man is not able to break through darkness, then it has not achieved anything. So we're looking at darkness in the soul. Now, yesterday we were talking about just one aspect of the nature of man, the nature of the soul, and we talked about the realms of the mind that are what you call unconscious, that you're not normally conscious of. And then you're looking at the aspects of your mind that you're unconscious. The same thing happens to your emotions. There are aspects of your emotion that you're aware of, and there are aspects too that you're not aware of. So you see those two are natures. I would rather like to go back. You know, when you talk of darkness, what is the origin of darkness? You know, where does it come from? Colossians says that he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, so you can see those comparisons from beginning everywhere. You can go down and down and down. So when you cast your mind back, what is the origin of darkness? And you can find it in Genesis 3. That's the beginning of darkness. What was it that happened in Genesis 3? Darkness must begin from a seed. Darkness must begin from a seed. And then when we look at scripture, we can identify two seeds. There is the seed of darkness, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil, is it good or evil? So what, something that is good and evil, is it good or evil? Well, to answer that question, you have to go to another scripture. That's the evil. You must always go to scripture. You must be scripture based. So what is scripture that answers the question? That's it. See, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if there is dark, good and evil, it's not God. You understand? So good and evil is not God, it's darkness. And therein is the problem you have, the goodness. And that is the deception. No, I was repeating, I'm very, very good. I'm very, very good. I said good and evil. Now, to define it, you must go to scripture. Because that will say that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So in God there is no evil at all. Alright? But when you come into the world, you see good, you see evil. It's morning and evening. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Is that God? So you grow up, we accept that sometimes you win. You win some, you lose some. If you can't win them, if you cannot, what do you do? You join them. Is that righteousness? It's not. But the whole world is built on one principle. It's built on the principle of good and evil. In 12 fruits, there must be one evil. Is also. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Good. Okay, civil rights, not that. So we are coming to the origin of darkness. And the dangerous component, that's what I was saying, why darkness is evil is because there is good in it. There's good in the darkness. Let's say, for example, education. Is education bad? Okay, is it good? So is education good and evil? So where is it from? Where is education from? What is education about?
Enlightenment.
About what? How to make cars to run, isn't that so? Cars. Who brought cars? The energy that is running the car, is it the right energy? It's producing pollution. That's sending people to hospital.
It's corrupted energy.
It's not good. It's not clean energy, is it?
They're powering electric cars.
Even electric cars, when you follow it, you see that it has its own problem. So what he's saying is that the whole thing you see in life, whether it's engineering or medicine or art, that's even worse. Whichever one, which just give me one good thing that man has.
The whole world lieth
wickedness. Well, the whole world lieth wickedness. So one day, as I was praying, God just spoke something to me. Let me tell you something. Everything in this world has come from one seed, good and evil. It's like a tree. The whole world is filled with that tree, and that tree has one foundation. What's the foundation? That seed that entered into Eve, good and evil, it has multiplied. And when that seed entered, it went into the four realms of the soul. So if you look at this, okay, so we have the four dimensions of the soul. Okay, so if you say this is the mind, and you say this is the will, and you say this is the emotion, and you say this is the desires, it's not so. By the way, the mind has its own emotion. Are you aware of that? The mind has its own will, and the mind has its own desires. Sorry, I don't really want to digress, but you find out that this emotion also has its own will, has its own mind, has its own desire. So what is he saying? What is he saying to you? There is no such building anywhere in this world. And it is limitless. That's why the devil will not leave you alone. Don't you understand? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So there are pipes and connections.
Yeah.
And there are realms. Because if you look at it, how will God dwell in you? You understand? If you are not too big.
Yeah.
You understand? So you say the kingdom of God is coming within you.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So what you're looking at, you're looking at depths of life, of reality. And in all these places, there are spirits lodging in the emotions, lodging in the desires, lodging in the will. Let's not get into that yet. But so that this is the full nature of the will. And then in the midst of this, you had a seed of good and evil. But there was an opportunity for another seed. So we'll put that here. Of life. The tree of life. The good and evil is also a tree. Isn't that so? It's also a tree. So it's a tree of good and evil. So this one is darkness. So this is darkness. But this darkness has a special nature. It is good. It's good. Amen. It's good. And that is why we accommodate it. That's why we receive it. We are comfortable because there's some good in it. Because if it was bad, you wouldn't even go near it.
That's
right. So that is what you and I must realize, that in the darkness is goodness. And so the Bible says that it has even come to the point where the darkness is so much that even the elect will be deceived. Do you know? Do you see why the elect can be deceived?
Yes.
No, do you understand? The elect can be deceived. If not that, even unless God intervenes, even the very elect can be deceived. So you need to do very well. It's like you, if you engineers, you understand. If I have this circle, all I need to do is, what's that? It's called tangent. That's all. Just a little deviation. That's all you need. And you won't notice it. You only need to go many, many miles far. Then you will see. This one is even very apparent. How about this one? To see it, you need to go to the end of Lekki. That's when you see that this road is going to end up somewhere there. It's not going to be very good. So that's what the devil just needs, a little deviation, and you're off. Amen. And that is why, you know, we must be on our toes. Okay. So we're looking at the beginning of darkness, and it's from good and evil. And this seed came into Adam and the wife. And then when that seed got there, what happened? It spread to the four dimensions of his soul. It spread. Now, to be able to appreciate what has happened, you need to look at another scripture. So can we look at Ezekiel chapter 1? Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 is telling us about this, what I've drawn on the board. But it tells us the picture of the soul before this happened, before this seed was planted. Ezekiel chapter 4, chapter 1 tells us that there are four living creatures. Okay? This living creature was like a lion, and the emotion was a lion. The desire was the face of a man. The way was like that of an ox, and then the way was that of an ego. Where do you find ego? That's what we were saying yesterday. By the way, if you feel like sleeping because you worked so hard, I hear there is coffee somewhere. There's the coffee. Amen. I took coffee before I started. Because I took a little bit of, I started sleeping, so I took coffee, so it's allowed. Anyway, we talked a little bit about the mind yesterday. Okay? The ability of the mind to soar. Mm-hmm. But do you know there are different types of ego? There are three types of ego. There are the egos that fly very high. In fact, one of them, they say the eagle is the only bird that can fly into the sun. Because if you look at the eyes, the cells in the eyes, they are specific, they are very, very unique. You know, they have been primed to withstand the energy of the sun, so you can fly into the sun. But there are some eagles that can never lift up from the earth. They are called chicken eagles. They are earthbound. Don't you understand? But there are eagles that are earthbound. They can try to fly, but are going down. Don't you understand? So we briefly talked about them. So they that wait upon the Lord will do what? They shall renew their strength. They are going to mount up with wings. So now, there is something specific about ego. It's just one word. I want to tell you that word. What is it? Wings. Wings. This one is a different teaching, but let me just touch it a bit. I don't want to go far. You know, when you look at that Ezekiel 1, you see that those cherubim have four wings. And then when you go to Revelation, you see that they had six wings. And then in Isaiah, I saw them, they had six wings. So the man had a revelation. Don't you understand? So it means that they had acquired two additional wings. Now, wings speaks of ability to function in the spirit. Ability to bring an offering. Yeah. That's also a wing. It speaks of a product of communion with God. They that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. There's no way you can rise from the earth without waiting on God.
Amen.
There's no way you can rise above. When you say earth, it means you have a problem. Somebody has come to jam your car. Or somebody has in the office cheated you. Somebody has spread lies about you. You did the overtime on the one floating station somewhere in Atlantic Ocean. They say you didn't go. You did 90 hours. They cut it down and gave you 20. And you know the problem you went through. You say, this man, I will show him. You don't need to show him. You need to rise. Don't you understand? You need to rise. Because you see, he's coming. Darkness has come to you. And you must say, this darkness, I must rise. So the thing is not the grammar. It is the life. You must, and the only way you can, a man can say, you see 1 million naira going, says, I'm going to rise. Let it go. Can you say 1 million naira go? I don't know what this 1 million can do for me. It can land a fresh car for me. But God said, let it go. The only way is that light has to enter your soul. Yes, and when that light comes, it's going to cause you to lift. And that thing doesn't mean anything to you. You can look at the man and still greet him with clear conscience and clear mind. You're not keeping malice with him. Say, that man, don't mind that Ijibu man. It's because I'm from down the road, from Eba. That's why he's done it to me. Yeah, man. And my grandfather was fighting with his grandfather. You understand? You know, so that's the reality of what he said. Talking about mind being able to rise. You know, so this is the soul, and darkness entered into the soul. Now, well, that was the deviation. Now, when we go to Ezekiel chapter 1, there is one nature of these four creatures mentioned. What was that nature? Nature of light.
Hallelujah.
If you read it, I don't know, either verse 18 or so. Let's read it. You know, we're not going to go too much, but we'll just speak out the nature. Yeah, it's just a summary. We're not going into too much detail. We're trying to make it as simple. Ezekiel 1. Is it 1:18?
What?
So when they run as.
14?
Is it 14?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It says, and the living creature. Okay. Let's read 13. Okay. Say, as for the likeness of the living creatures, the appearance was like burning coals of fire. Let me just stop there. You have to pardon me. When Elijah saw those creatures, you know what happened? He said that. Somebody went and took coals.
Isaiah.
Yeah. He took coals. Where did he take the coals from? From the altar. Do you know where that altar is? You can't understand it unless you go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 10 said that when you saw the nature of this living creature, was like there were coals between them.
Coals of fire.
There are coals of fire. So he's speaking of an altar. He's speaking of the soul. You understand? He's speaking of the personalization of the golden altar of incense. That's why I have coals. I said that he took coals from there and went and put it on his lips. And he healed them. Those lips are not lips physically. He's speaking about the back doors of the soul. Because lips speaks of receiving life. You know, so there are six openings in the soul. Every sense in the body is found in the soul. Okay, let's put it this way. The Bible says that the eye of the body, the light of the body is the eye. Is it not so?
Yeah.
If your body has eye, your soul must have eye. Your soul has eye. What is it? Your soul just, the eye means the connection between your mind and the spirit. That is the eye. That is the opening through which you have soul. Also, the soul also has connection with smell. Like now, if you start smelling what's happening in that kitchen, nobody will tell you what is happening. Your body starts reacting. Isn't that so? You are smelling something, but your body is reacting. And you start feeling good about it. It's not about your emotions. So the emotion is linked to the body. Don't you understand? So if the devil wants to catch you, you are fasting. All you need to do is to fry plantain. Your neighbor is flying plantain. That fasting has ended. Oh, you're at the office. The reference is just behind you. Forget it. That fasting has ended. Because when it comes, that you say, God understands that. I've tried. You understand? So he's telling you that your soul has connection with the body. And there are five such connections. You understand? But the mind is it's linked to the spirit. That's the sixth connection. Okay, so that, I was just digressing on these coals. So their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creature. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned at the appearance of a flash of lightning. What is it describing? The nature of the soul. Just one word. It has the nature of light. Now, if my soul has the nature of light, those who think out of the box can derive the next step. What's the next step? If it has the nature of light, it can also become dark. And the devil knew that. He said, fine. You made them to be a nature of light. I'm going to do something to them. They will become creatures of darkness. So the problem of the soul is the problem of the nature, the design, the original design of you. God made you in a way that the light in you can be switched off. That's the bad news. But there's a better news. What do you think is the better news? The light in you can also be switched on. Amen. So if it has been switched off, I won't stop there. I'm going to go to the other point. That light can also be switched on. So what does the scripture say? That the spirit of man is what? Is the lamp or the candle or the sun of the Lord. I have it switched off. There's no problem. But that's the better news. So the Spirit of God that is coming to switch on the soul.
Amen.
It's coming to bring light into the soul. And so he says, that's where I'm going to end up. He says, therefore the righteous shall shine as the brightness of the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Amen. So you and I have a destination. The destination is not the bad news. My destination is the good news. And what is that good news? My soul is going to receive the light of God. And as we will see, if the soul does not receive the light of God, it cannot be joined to Christ. It cannot be your bride. Because the head is full of light. Don't you understand? How can you marry a woman? The husband is light, the woman is white, is dark. It won't work. It won't work. So the problem is the nature of the soul. So he says, I will take away the old covenant.
Amen.
What do you understand? He taketh away the first, that he might bring in the second. What was the problem of the first? The problem of the first did not address seed of good and evil within the soul. It couldn't work. So he says, I will take it away. I will not go inside. I will make a new covenant. I will put it in their heart. Hallelujah. Say, I will take away. You see, these four natures must be delivered, must be saved from the grip of darkness. And that's what we saw yesterday. When the Philistines came, they took the head of Saul, that's the soul, and they took it to the temple of their God. And he began to function and be a priest. It was serving as a priest of Baal in the temple of Baal. When they had a Baal ceremony, don't you understand? It's a guy bring the vessels, bring the ministers, let them serve in the temple of Baal. Amen.
The scripture that comes to
yes, yes.
John 1:4.
Yes.
Was light.
Okay.
Was the light of men.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then verse 5 says that he is the true light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. So the natural man is dark. You know? So basically, to understand this darkness, we must go back to see that it has a basic nature of light. So you can, so the soul of man can go either way. It can go with light, it can go with darkness. You and I must determine how we are going to be lighted. And the scripture that comes to me says, one light or one star, is it not so? Differs from another star in glory. See, so is the resurrection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So in the resurrection is light. So the resurrection is the resurrection of the body, of the soul, and the spirit. Now in God's order, it's every man in his own order. In order, the spirit resurrects first. When this holy baptism of the Holy Ghost comes, it comes into the spirit. The spirit is resurrected. But that's just one way. The real resurrection is the resurrection of these four creatures. Their nature must be changed back to the nature of light. But you see, the light that the soul had was temporary because it did not have a light as of the nature. They only had four wings. And that is not the fullness of man. The fullness of man is six. Okay, so it was bound to fall. So it says, he made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Okay? But we know that in the resurrection, he's taking man beyond where it was before. So it was a living soul, became a dead soul. Amen. Now it's going to become not just a living soul, but a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand. So it's life-giving spirit is a higher order,
yes,
of light. Okay, good. So the whole thing is light and darkness. And when you come into the tabernacle, so we can go to the tabernacle quickly. If you come into the tabernacle, so you can. This now gives you. We can just do a quick summary of the tabernacle. Where is this? So now, if you come to the tabernacle. The whole outer court is a place of preparation, judgment. The soul in the outer court is brass, has the nature of brass. When it comes into the holy place, this is the place of change. And there are two types of change. The light that comes from the spirit brings light, because there are seven lamps burning, don't you understand? The soul before it comes here is dark. Is that what we saw? The nature of the soul is the nature of darkness. It has no light. Now, when you say light, what is light? Light is ability In fact, there are about seven natures of light. First one is knowledge. And that is what you see in Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 11. It says there are seven spirits of God. Now, those are the seven spirits. The spirit of the Lord. That's the major, that's the first one. The spirit of knowledge. Knowledge means perception. That's to perceive something, to receive information, to become aware. And you cannot be aware of things in the spirit except by the spirit of God. So 1 Corinthians 2 says that what man knows the things of a man except his spirit? And then what man knows the things of God except the spirit of God? But that we have been given the spirit of God that we may know the things of God. But the Bible says that eye has not seen or ear heard. That is old story. The new story is that those things that physical eye hasn't seen, we are being told. It's being revealed to us by his spirit. Now, the Pentecostal church, we are teaching that we cannot see it. Oh no, it's only when we forget. That's old story. Everything God has for you, you can know. But you see, that is the inner light. Now, some rascals who say they are mocked people, and they are ekaka. they have run ahead. They say they are light and son of God. Forget it. It's just an invitation. Come into the tabernacle. You will see the light. This is the inner light.
Amen.
Do you know what is Illuminati? Illuminati means the illuminated ones. They say you are in darkness. They are in the light. That's what Illuminati means. They are the illuminated ones. They don't see physically. They go in the spirit and they begin to look. I said Nigeria must be closed down. Their economy is bad. That's how they bring financial policies that will say, look, we're not going. But you see, that is the back door.
Yes, sir.
When you come into the tabernacle, you see another light.
Hallelujah.
The knowledge of God.
Amen.
I said that the fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of knowledge.
Yes.
So see, when you fear God and you consecrate yourself, you come into a new dimension. When the Spirit of God begins to bring information to you, bring knowledge. You see, the soul can fall into sin because it has no knowledge. See that the wise man sees the evil. And what does he do? He hides himself. Amen. Now, when we are walking with God, God will show you where the thing is coming from.
Amen.
Before evil, he said that those who are of God, that they will rebuke the thing from far. So even before the thing comes, God has already shown you in the dream. You know exactly. In fact, he tells you what the man will say in his office. The man enters the office. He brings, wear the same shirt you saw him with. He says exactly the same thing you see him. They are smiling. Why are you smiling? You have advanced information. So we are the people walking in darkness. No light. No lamp. And that will say that those to be simple means that there is no inner light. So when you use that word, you say, no, the man has, no, we're not coming anywhere. Look at it. This is a house. There's no light from the sun. The light there, is it not inner light?
Yes.
Sister, talk now. Is the light there not inner light? Hey, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh God, they have deceived us so much. Tell me now, this light, is it outer light? Is light from within.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, unto the righteous, the word, arise light. Where? In darkness. The darkness is within the soul. That's why the Holy Ghost comes from inside.
Yeah.
Do you know that God cannot intervene in Lagos? Do you not? There is a government in Lagos.
Yeah.
And his name is Fashola. He is the governor. God is a servant of God. Don't you know?
Yeah.
He's a minister of God. For judgment. To judge those who drive against traffic. That is his ministry. God cannot interfere with him. But there is a place God can interfere. Where is that? The government within your soul. If you open up, he comes. So his own government is not of this world. So he walks in the heart of men. So if you that is walking according to a new government begin to cry out to God, he will take Fashola out of the way. Because he has authority. Somebody who has submitted to him has now begun to. So God's intervention is from in out. Man is working from out in. Amen. So the purpose of the holy place is to bring light into the soul. And there are seven of these dimensions. We will get into it maybe later. In the lampstand also, there is light. The Bible says the entrance of your word, what does it do? It brings light. It says thy word is Lord like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what he says? Then he says, there are some other scriptures, you know. So both the word and the spirit bring light. So this light is to change the nature of the soul, and that is what you have at the lampstand. So this golden altar is the place where the soul has not been changed from darkness into light, and that is the witness that is ready to be married. So he says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. He says, between the wings of the cherubim, shine forth. And when you go there, what happens there? You see light. The only place where you see the glory of God is where? Between the cherubim. It's light. So if your soul is going there, will you go there in darkness? It must change. So that is the wedding garment of the soul. It's light. That light is not the one of cotton. You got to wear cotton and you go parading along the street. You need that inner light. The garment of righteousness produced by the shewbread and the lampstand. Says the candle, spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, giving light to the inward parts of the belly, which is the soul, lighting of the soul. And so you come to Revelation, you see that woman. The woman was clothed with the sun, isn't it so? And then a crown of 12 stars. That 12 stars speaks of the mind of Christ, the government of the soul. You know, and it's all light. So everything here is light, 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 light. So that's the purpose of the holy place. So this is the place of preparation. Now, what you call marriage feast? In God, the marriage feast comes before the wedding. But in Nigeria, the marriage feast comes after the wedding. So it has confused us. So this is the place where the bride is fed and prepared. When we were talking about that yesterday, we saw Daniel. Before he could go to meet the king, what happened? He said, come. They brought it to the king's table. But the man said, no, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. So he began to eat a different kind of food. You know what he ate? Vegetables. That speaks of the Feast of Tabernacles. There are three types of vegetables that you must eat. The olive. That's one. Two is the fig tree. Three is the vine. That's the three. And those are the things that prepare the soul to go forward. So the man was eating vegetables. And at the end, when they brought him, he said, no, this one is different. That is, he had the excellent spirit. He had wisdom. He had knowledge. He had understanding. And when they put him, he was in far exceeded all the other people. They couldn't compare with him. You know, so it speaks of that which God is doing to prepare people so that they can be joined unto Christ. You know, so you can see the relevance that this is the work of the soul to come to the place of it. Now, before you can come, or before I can come into the spirit, I must go through this place of consecration. And this is the place where the end time church, we say, God, we're not, this one we have fought God. You know, we are very active about it. You know, we say, well, we want the world. If a man wants the world, he cannot go in. You know, so the consecration is the rate limiting step. Someone was asking that question somewhere. What is the rate limiting step? It's consecration. There is no priesthood, even in my village, that is not consecrated. When you go home next time, ask questions. They didn't tell you about the babalawo in your village. It doesn't go to every ceremony. Do you see babalawo in every ceremony? No, no way. The rooster gets bread. If you want to give him food, you bring it to the house. And he will ask him, how do you want your food? He tells him, when you're boiling it, after 10 minutes, bring it out. Bring it out, because you my own bit is special. Amen. But our own, we eat everything. We go everywhere. We wear every dress. We do everything. Everything. No rules. Because we are free, the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus. So we must go back to the drawing board. We must come to the place of consecration. So the message of the hour now is consecration. That is the message that God is bringing to his people. Separation. Even Jesus said, I have separated myself because of you. Don't you understand? So if he separated, then how would we separate because of him? Amen. You know? So this is the message. This is so important, you know, of God calling the people to a place of sanctification. And even in the stories of the church, you know, the movement, you look at, you know, things like Apostle Faith, Deeper Life, and so on. The reason why they had some kind of power was because they had the message of separation. Now, down the line, they have lost it also. I've seen my Deeper Life people do things that I was there in the 70s. I know that that's not how it started. You know, they too have joined. You know, because they were criticizing the same. So, okay, now let's follow them. Mm. I've seen the whole World Press Conference, Deeper Life, holding World Press Conference. For what? For what? Giving national advice. National advice. Deeper Life. What is happening? If you can't beat them, what do you do? You join them. You know? So, you see that this has eroded so much. You know, the world has come. And of course, Bible said the outer court is going to be given over to what? Worldliness. Don't use the word Gentiles. If you check it, what it says is worldliness. So worldliness is going to overrun the outer court. And do you know that we too are part of it? The so-called end time movement is part of it. We have been called. The only thing that we got a call to move forward, did we follow it? We took two steps. I said, no, this is too hard. And we went back. But God is giving us another opportunity to come back. Amen. Amen. So we are being brought back to coming.
Amen.
Come into the realm of the Spirit. And how you know somebody who has come in is very, very clear. They have the oil. They have the light. They have the judgment. They have the consecration. You know, so nobody will tell you can see you are beginning to, you know. So the experiences that we're going through are the fact that God is now beginning to separate us, bring us to the point where we are beginning to make consecrations to come in, you know, to come to the table, to come to the place of the Spirit, and then to come to this place. So we will deal with all these things later tomorrow, to go into more detail. But because this is just a digression, I have 5 points. I've just done one. I don't know what's the time. Is it 10 o'clock yet? Okay, let's see now. Okay, I think we've done the first one. We've just managed to do the first one. But nothing finished it. Okay. So we've talked about the seed of darkness. Okay, let me give you the points. Write it down. Write down the points. And you have to pray about it that we'll have to cover it. It's like in Skylar, I wrote down 5 points. When I got to number 3, they came and stopped me. But God said I sang 2 songs that took 15 minutes. So I should have sang those songs. But he didn't tell me when I was singing the song that my time was going. So he stood up and said, your time is over, stop. So I have to still go back and preach that message. Okay. So the first one is.
That online.
You need to see it. You might get behind me. I'm serious. Okay, seed of darkness is number one. Number two is the three-dimensional transformation of the soul. Number three.
Is your fasting?
No, okay, no. Number one is seed of darkness within the soul. That will talk about this good and evil. Okay, well, we've touched it. I think we'll finish. I've gone back and we'll finish it. Then we have number two as a three-dimensional transformation of the soul. Three-dimensional transformation of the soul. Three-dimensional transformation of the soul. Then number three, can we take it? Number three is the fivefold ministry of darkness. Fivefold ministry of darkness is number three. Number four is the atonement of the soul. And then number five is the fullness of Christ within the soul. So these are the five steps that we are going to take. And at each of the steps, we will be comparing it to the tabernacle so that we can see how we can, so that we can apply it and see. So, yes, I will. The first one is the seed of darkness. That's the knowledge of good and evil. And number two is the three-dimensional transformation of the soul into the nature of darkness. Then number three is the fivefold ministry of darkness within the soul. Then number four is the atonement of the soul. And number five is the fullness of Christ within the soul. Okay, so let's finish up with this seed of darkness. So coming back here, so we've seen how this nature of darkness came in, and it's based on the nature of light. Now, when you go to Luke, there's a scripture that Luke 11. You need to, let's look at that scripture. Luke 11. I think we should finish in 30 minutes. Luke 11. I just feel I should give the scripture so that we can properly understand it. So we'll not just mention it. Luke 11. Okay, look at verse 34. It says, "The light of the body is the eye." So when you're reading scriptures, you must read them forward and back. So it also means the soul also has a light, and the spirit must also have a light. So what it means? The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body is also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. So he's telling you that darkness is light. So there are two types of light. Light for light. And then darkness for light. Okay, so that's what we're looking at here. So this soul has a nature of light, and it can either be darkness or light. That's the point we're bringing. And the devil understood that. So he said, if only I can get the soul of man to be darkness, it's in my territory. Do you know why? There's a scripture in Habakkuk that tells us that. What does it say? In Habakkuk, he said, God is of purer eyes than to do what? and to behold iniquity. So he knew that if he could just bring in darkness in into the soul of man, God is out. So he tricked the man and says, has God said? He just has God, a little bit of doubt. Has God said? Began to twist the scripture. Immediately she took it, darkness came in. And from that point, she was defiled. And I was trying to give there's a principle that I was trying to show. Now, when it comes to worship or performing a role, even in our own natural setting, for you to perform a role, you must dress the part. Engineers have a way of dressing. Look at all of them. See how they are all dressing. Jeans, trousers, t-shirt. Look at them. You see all of them. See, they fly around. Even the MD is flying his shirt and walking along the road. He has his key. You understand? That is the engineer. He has dressed the part. We doctors all dress like that. You can't find this is fly shirt. When your consultant is well dressed with his carrying his briefcase, you have a fly shirt. You dress the part. Have you seen nurses before? They dress the part. Have you seen music stars before? If I put on the TV now, do they dress like you, engineers? They dress the part. So who told you as the priest would not dress the part? So the soul must wear a uniform. So if you are going to function in the temple of Baal, what uniform would you wear? Darkness. So the first thing the devil did was to change the nature of the soul into darkness. So that's what he did. The first step was to get darkness into the soul. Because he knows that a little leaven will level it. He only needed just one seed of darkness. He knew that it's going to multiply. And when we see the ministry of darkness, the five natures, you understand, you see the progression, the way it works. So, if this soul is also going to overcome darkness, to become the priest of God, the first thing you must do is what? You must get rid of darkness within my soul. Not even the soul of your brother. Your brother is not your problem. My problem is not my wife, or my children, or my in-law, or my boss. I am my own greatest problem. And the problem I have is in the realm of the spirit. Because that's where the whole defilement is. The Bible talks about the defilement that is of the spirit, you know so. There are defilements of the flesh. Those ones are easy to deal with. So it's not the one I'm saying, I will not watch Mr. Big's show. Whichever program you say you won't watch. That's not the problem. Bro. Or you tell the children, oh yeah, watch this one. No, that's not the... If you want the children to overcome, you must go into the spirit. You must teach them how to war in the spirit. Amen. Yeah. Because that's where the problem is, in the realms of the mind. Yeah. Do you know that the devil has built strongholds over the ages? Africa is one stronghold of the devil. Africa is a major stronghold of the devil. It took time, calculated it, and built it. Amen. So you go all over the world, there are territories that are strongholds, and there are natures, tendencies that are also strongholds, and the devil has built it, you know, and he took time to build it up, you know, because he knows that, look, this is good to be my stronghold. For you to break it down, you have to work hard, you know. So the principle of overcoming darkness is that, number one, we must change the nature of darkness. Okay, so that brings us to just the point to where we can close up, and that brings us to the spirit of there are three things, there are three natures of darkness that the devil had to introduce within the soul of man. The first one is a spirit, and it's called the spirit of whoredom. As the first major spirit of darkness. In some places they say it's Babylon. In some places they say it's the harlot woman. Okay, but it's addressing the one major aspect of this spirit. We'll just mention it, we will deal with it more. Now, the second one, let me just mention, then we can. Second one is the spirit of the beast. And then the third one is rebellion. So the sin of rebellion is like what? Witchcraft. Do you know what is witchcraft? Does anybody know the definition of witchcraft? Witchcraft is what? Alternative government. Government. That's witchcraft. Alternative government. You know? Hold on, the spirit of the beast and rebellion, or the beast system and spirit of rebellion. Now, these three spirits are within, that are within the soul. Spirit of whoredoms, spirit of the beast, and then spirit of rebellion. Now, I've heard some people, there are different manifestations of this spirit. And some people take it naturally. Of course, they have natural manifestation. But when we see the scripture, you will see clearly that whoredom is a spirit that manifests. Now, the way it works is the spirit must manifest in a person, needs a vessel to express itself. Even God himself. God is not going to manifest except he has a vessel, isn't also. So also with the spirit. So the spirit must have somebody who dedicates himself to serve that particular spirit. So if you go to your village, you have to say, see that family, don't go there. Say there is something there. You know, so they say don't go there, something is happening there. They are dedicated to serving a particular spirit. Don't go there. If you go there, anything you see, you carry. Do you think the spirit goes everywhere? That's it. He chooses somebody because that one has consecrated himself. So that spirit comes into that person and then multiplies down. So you have a spirit, you have a vessel, then you have a people. So those are the three dimensions of spirit. So now, how did God come to Abraham? Think about it. One man, isn't it so? Mm-hmm. Out of you, I'll do what? I'll make you a father of many nations. So God came to Abraham, one man. He made the covenant with God, and now you and I are children of Abraham. That's how the spirits work. So this spirit of Hodon came into one soul and then began to spread. And it has multiplied to the fullness. Now, the same thing with the beast. It's what the Bible calls beast. You see that in Revelation 13. The spirit of whoredoms you see in Revelation 17. We will look at them tomorrow. And then the spirit of rebellion. Okay. Rebellion has to do with rising up against God's set order. And that is darkness rising against light. Okay, so those are the three major dimensions of darkness working within the soul. And everything else that you see that's happening, you know, you can describe it under those things. So if you come to Revelation, the scripture takes time to address each one of these principles, each one of these workings that you find. And these are the things that we must overcome. And in fact, if you look at, if you go in Revelation 13, it says, for instance, that if any man worships the beast, or his image, or receives his mark, or worships the number of his name, what will happen to him? That he will not have part of the kingdom of God. So, the standard of measuring your overcoming is what? Is what you do with these three things. That's the measure. But it so happens that in the church, we're not measuring ourselves by this. We have other measurements. You know, so we have to come back to the true measurement, and that is that we must overcome. And you will see that as soon as the church overcomes, this spirit, then it is ready, you know, to deal with it. So I'm just mentioning them. When we begin to talk about the three-dimensional transformation of darkness, we will see. Let me just mention those three dimensions. One dimension is that because of this darkness that entered, the first change was that the soul became a habitation of darkness. That's one major. The soul became a realm in which dark spirits. So it says Babylon has become a habitation of every unclean bed and a hold of every devil and spirit. That is Babylon. So it's speaking of a habitation, a realm of life. That's one nature of this. We'll look at it tomorrow. Number two, the soul became a priest of darkness, bringing offerings, worship, service. So the priest became a priest of darkness.
The soul
became a priest of darkness, bringing worship, offerings, sacrifices, and so on. And then lastly, the soul began to fellowship with spirits. The spirits that were dwelling in the soul began to entertain the soul with darkness. See, the spirits within the soul began to entertain the soul with darkness. So they are bringing something. He began to entertain the soul with darkness, with passions. Okay, so those are the three dimensional transformation. Okay, of darkness that has to do with the darkness that is within, you know, the fact that it is now, you know, it is growing and multiplying. You know, so I think I will stop at this point. We will come tomorrow. We will start from this three-dimensional nature of darkness. We'll look at the scriptures, and then we'll look at the ministry of this darkness, the way it works, the nature of this darkness. We will see. Now, this darkness is a business. It's an employment. The soul has employed to manufacture darkness and export it. The soul manufactures darkness. It uses some of the darkness. It entertains itself with the darkness. Then, the one it doesn't need, it exposes it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And then we will see how we will need to deal with this darkness. That is the atonement of the soul.
Amen.
And that is the war.
Amen.
Amen. That's the war. So we are fighting for our soul. Hallelujah. You need to know your enemy, know where it's going, where it's coming from, the way you operate. And then when you know the way you operate, then you know how to begin to deal with it. So it says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I mean, say casting down image. It's full of images. And those images are in the subconscious. How do you get to those images in the subconscious? The scripture has told us. It says, if you take blood and you put it on this wood, okay, you put blood. A man took blood of goat, put it on the wood became holy. Your mind now. If you take the same blood that puts it on your mind will become holy. That's the answer. Don't you understand? That's what Hebrew is saying. A woman took blood, put it on the wood. The wood became holy. Hallelujah. Say, how much more the blood of Jesus is able to purge your mind. Do you understand? But you see, the problem is that we don't realize that we are more holy than the wood. So you enter the church, your man is walking holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oh my God. Then his own soul is not holy. Hey, religious. Oh my God. Something has changed. Hallelujah. You know, so when we realize that there is, in medicine we call it a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
You understand? That is a major shift. You change the whole practice. Instead of entering through this door, you begin to enter through this door. That's a paradigm shift. When you realize that you are the temple of the living God, and that this temple must be cleansed and can be cleansed. Hallelujah. So when you wake up in the morning, you bring the temple. You must clean the temple every morning. Yes. Hallelujah. If it gets defiled, you clean it. That's why you have the blood. So the priest must come first to, must take the blood, clean it. And every day you sanctify the vessel.
That's right.
You don't say because I did it yesterday, every day you sanctify it. So you must take your mind and bring it as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So these are changes that we need to begin to appreciate. And then not just to appreciate, to walk in it, practice it. So if you have 24 hour light, my God, what are you doing with it? Put your tape, play entire Bible. That's what it says. Do you want one chapter or entire Bible? Play it. Sleep with the scripture.
Right.
Your unconscious mind is hearing the scripture. Don't you understand? By the time you wake up in the morning, your mind is saturated with the scriptures or tape. But we have light, we don't do it. Do you understand? So it requires a paradigm shift. You understand? You have light, use it for something. You understand? There's energy, there's resources. You know, so we need to understand what we're doing. So we must get the word into the realm of spirit. And the entrance of the word will bring light. Those places where there is darkness, the word will come. Somebody said, I've been hearing the word of God, no change. You didn't hear the word of God. You understand? When you hear, every man that hears his voice will resurrect.
Yes.
That's the word. So if it's the word of the Lord, it must resurrect. It says, so is my word that has gone forth. It will not come back void. The word is like you see those excavators. When the thing enters the soil, it must bring soil. You cannot, if it comes back empty, the driver is going back again. You must carry soil and transfer it. And that soil is the carnality. So when the word comes, it must excavate the carnality. It must carry something and take it out. So is my word that goes and will not come back void. It must bring something. It's bringing the soul back. The soul used to be anchored in the spirit. The night is falling down. Say, I will raise again the tabernacle of David. Don't you understand? He's going to raise it up. And he's the ministry of the word. So the light and the spirit are the two things, the two wings. The spirit will help you to climb up in the spirit. The word of God will also help you to climb up in the spirit. So the two of them combined together, you start flying. Amen. And the Bible says, as soon as Zion traveled, she prophesied. So somebody says, no, I'm a sweatless winner. That's no problem. There are sweatless winner does not reach hell. You must sweat. There must be a labor. There must be a travail to bring this soul back, re-anchor it back. Hallelujah, that's it. You know. So it's very clear what God is saying. That we must understand that the soul can be saved. Somebody says, I cannot overcome. It's not in the Bible. I can overcome. Because Bible said the land shall not be sold forever. It's a law of land. Because the land, the earth is the Lord's, isn't it not so? So if the devil has to come into your soul, as he came in, that's how he will also go. Because the earth doesn't belong to him. He's just a usurper. You know. So those are the principles that we are seeing regarding darkness. And it is based on the principle of the nature of the soul, the way that we are, the way we function, and the way we walk. And that light is coming in, it's increasing. You know, it's like a light that shines in a dark place, shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day, until the day dawn, and the darkness becomes a thing of the past. Mm. So, what the end result of all this is that a time will come when there will not be any more darkness in the soul. And you know what that is going to mean? It means that this soul will become a body of light. It will become a light holder in the heavens. I don't know if you understand. Your soul will become a bright, shining body. Say, they that, isn't that so? They that know their God, or those that the wise, shall shine forth as the stars. And say, they that also that are righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So he's comparing you to sun, to light. And guess what? In Luke, it's not Luke 9. Jesus went up on the hill. A man that they saw, natural man, by the time they saw him, what happened to him? He said that his whole personality was like the sun shining at the height. Hallelujah. That is mine. Now, what made Jesus to be like that is just one thing. Spirit of Christ. And he said, if the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus is in you, that same spirit. Do you understand? So the thing is, the Spirit of Christ came into Jesus. It's the same Spirit of Christ that has come into you. Hallelujah. So that spirit came from his, multiplied into his soul. Now we have received the spirit in our spirit. Right now, there is a progression, there is a movement forward. We are pushing darkness. I want to push darkness out of our soul. You understand? So the problem is not that darkness is not there. I agree, darkness is there, but it must go.
Amen.
So it is an understanding that we must have. Now, it's not head knowledge, it's for practice.
Amen.
So I have to arrange my lifestyle to overcome darkness.
Amen.
And that darkness is not in my brother, it's in me first.
Amen.
That's why God gave me a wife, because when I woke up in the morning, I realized that there are things I must drop in my life.
Mm.
It's not so, that's why you know, I gave you brethren too, because through that you see. Now, you may be seeing problems in your brethren, you're looking the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Look inside. Amen. You know, you look at the children, you look people around you, they are showing you the mirror, showing you what's within. And when you begin to look, you will see that the more the light shines, the bigger the darkness. The more it shines. So even that which was hiding before becomes very, very, very obvious. Amen. Now, when the light is not shining, even that which is dark, you don't even see it. So the more you see, the greater you are, or nearer you are to destination. So we come to what they call the Day of Atonement. Say, on that day, every man must begin to afflict his soul. So in God's calendar, that's where the church has come now, where God is dealing with the church. There are certain events happening in the church now. You must be very careful how you react. You must be very, very careful how you talk. You must be very careful how you do things, because God is watching every man. You know, God drops off it. And the way you react determines your next step. You know, he brought some people to the water. They said, no, water. I never drink water before. He gave their weapon. He said, no problem. The other one said, no, I will keep my weapon. No. I'll be drinking. I'll be looking for the enemy. He said, those ones, put them on the left. The other one, put them on the right. And it came out 300. He said, those are the ones. Go with them. That's what's happening in the church. So we, there, we have come to the separation. God is separating the boys from the men. Amen. So the whole thing is centered on the soul. And the message is that we can overcome. And that overcome is not tomorrow, now, this night. You know? So the word of God is beginning to converge. And the purpose of it is to bring forth a bride full of light. And it is that bride that is going to be joined to Christ. And so you see that woman standing on the moon, clothed with the, you know, with the sun, and a crown of 12 stars. That is the government of Christ, ruling over the soul. And you know, when the light comes, all the sickness, cancer, forget it, all going. All these things are spirits that have come, seized the body of man because there was no light. Don't you understand? As long as Adam had the glory of God, no sickness would come in. But when the glory of God was removed, the body was exposed. Where do you think the spirits dwell? The spirits dwell in the blood. They want life. So they go to the blood that are breaking down the body. They are looking for life. But as the light of God begins to come into the soul will take off his body. And that walk and walking of darkness in the body will stop. So it says there shall be no more sorrow, no more sickness, because we shall be changed. You know, so there's a change, you know, so that process of change is working. You know. So these are things that are going to change. Someone say, oh, but how would the world? Forget about the world. When God has a man, one man that has the mind of Christ, it was only Jesus, you know, so he turned around the whole world. How much more when there are many saviors that will come on Zion?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. One man alone is enough for the whole world that has the mind of Christ. So the government of the earth will begin to change. You know, so that's a different subject. So I was just trying to give the end point. You know, so those points we are going to go step by step. We'll look through the scriptures and we'll see, you know, how God, what he's doing, and then we relate it to the tabernacle. And so we can see very clearly. The reason for that is that many brethren do not have a focus. Many of us do not have a direction. We're just walking around anyhow. You know, there's a focus. And that focus is to overcome darkness in the soul. That's the focus. And when your focus is very clear, you will not be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. You know, because any word God is bringing must speak to this. If it's not speaking to it, it's a fairy tale. You know, it's very clear what God is saying. And so he's raising trumpets, raising ministries, and they're all speaking to this. And they will agree, because it's from one spirit. You know, so that is just a summary of it. You know, so let's just bow our heads to pray and just respond to the word. Praise God.